Welcome back to Security for Legal Sass. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 52, and we're calling this one Day Zero. Alice, we've spent 51 episodes talking about specific security controls, authentication, encryption, input validation, cloud permissions, AI code risks. Today feels like we're stepping back and asking, if you're starting a new project from scratch, where do you actually begin?
And the key insight is that day one is already too late. The security posture of your application is largely determined by decisions you make before writing the first feature. Which framework you pick, how you store secrets, whether you set up logging. These are architectural choices, and if you get them wrong, fixing them later means rewriting, not patching.
That sounds abstract. Can you make it concrete?
Sure. Imagine you're building a case management system for law firms. On day one, you set up authentication as a simple username and password table in your database. You write the login flow yourself. 6 months later, your first enterprise customer says, "We need single sign-on with our Azure Active Directory." You go to integrate it, and you discover that your custom login code is tangled into every part of the application. The session management, the permission checks, the audit logs, all of it assumed your hand-built auth. Adding SSO isn't a three-day integration. It's a three-month rewrite.
Right.
If you'd started with an authentication library that already supported SSO, something like NextAuth or Django's built-in auth system, that integration would have been configuration, not surgery. The day zero decision saved you 3 months.
Yeah. So what's on the day zero checklist? If someone's starting a legal tech project tomorrow, what do they do first?
Framework choice matters enormously. Pick a framework with secure defaults. Django, for example, auto-escapes template output. That's protection against cross-site scripting, which we covered in episode 9. It enables CSRF protection by default. That's protection against forged requests. Episode 12. It uses parameterized database queries through its ORM. Protection against SQL injection. Episode 8. The developer using Django has to actively opt out of these protections. Compare that to a minimal framework like Express.js, where none of those protections exist by default. You have to add each one manually. The framework's opinion on security becomes your application's baseline.
What about secrets? API keys, database passwords?
Set up a secrets manager before you have secrets to store. AWS Secrets Manager, HashiCorp Vault. We talked about Vault back in episode 15. Or even a simpler service if you're just starting. The point is, there should never be a moment where someone thinks, "I'll just put this API key in the .NF file for now," because for now becomes forever. And once a secret is committed to Git, to your version control history, it's there forever. Even if you delete the file, the secret exists in the history. Removing it properly requires rewriting Git history, which is painful and error-prone.
And that's why the gitignore file matters from the first commit.
From commit zero, your .gitignore should exclude .env files, private key files, credential JSON files, anything framework-specific that contains secrets. And install pre-commit hooks. Those are automated scripts that run before code is saved to version control. That scan for secrets. Tools like Git Secrets or Detect Secrets will catch an API key before it enters the repository. It's a safety net for the inevitable moment when someone forgets.
Right. What about HTTPS? When does that go live?
From the first deployment. Not before launch, not when we get a domain. From the first time anyone accesses the application over a network. Let's Encrypt provides free TLS certificates. Most modern hosting platforms, Vercel, Railway, Fly.io, handle it automatically. We covered TLS in episode 13. There is no reason for unencrypted HTTP in 2026, especially for anything touching legal data.
And login?
Login is the one that gets skipped the most, and it's the one you most regret skipping when something goes wrong. Set up structured logging. That means logs in a consistent, machine-readable format, usually JSON. From the start, log every authentication event, every authorization decision. Every data access that touches client records. Not for debugging, for security. When you need to investigate an incident, logs are your evidence. If they don't exist, you're investigating blind.
OWASP has guidance on what to log and what not to log, right?
Their logging cheat sheet is excellent. The key rule, log the event, not the secret. Log, user 47 attempted login at 1432, failed. Don't log the password they typed. Log API key rotated for service X. Don't log the new key value. And don't log full credit card numbers, social security numbers, or client document contents. The log itself becomes a target if it contains sensitive data.
Yeah. What about dependency scanning? When does that start?
Before the first dependency. Add a scanning tool. NPM audit, pip audit, snank, dependabot, to your CI/CD pipeline from the first pull request. Every dependency you add is code you didn't write and can't fully inspect. Scanning catches known vulnerabilities automatically. We talked about supply chain risks extensively in the last episode with AI-generated code. This is the same principle applied to all third-party code.
So to summarize the day zero list, secure framework, secrets manager, gitignore, and pre-commit hooks, HTTPS from first deployment, authentication library with MFA and SSO support, structured logging, dependency scanning in CI, and branch protection requiring code reviews.
That's the minimum viable security posture. None of it is exotic. None of it requires a security team. It's all choices you make at the start that prevent months of rework later. Security debt compounds faster than technical debt, because every day a vulnerability exists in production is a day it can be exploited. And unlike slow code that just frustrates users, a security flaw can cost you your client's data and your professional obligations.
And there's an ethical dimension too, right? For anyone building software that lawyers use.
The NYC Bar issued a formal opinion in 2024 clarifying that lawyers' ethical obligations extend to the technology platforms they choose. If you're building legal SaaS and you haven't implemented basic security controls, you're making it harder for your lawyer customers to meet their obligations under ABA Model Rule 1.6C, the rule requiring reasonable efforts to protect client information. We'll add security later. Is not a defensible position.
Next episode, monitoring and alerting, how to detect attacks in progress, and why alert design matters as much as detection logic.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.